The back, see, just okay. Big enough to see. Flames, all right. Just want to be sure. We're not talking about focus, but that's just to focus the machine. So I'm glad to be here. Thank you for asking me over. Certainly appreciate it. Good to be with you folks tonight. And our lesson title for this weekend is called Back to the Basics. We've got our basic blocks here, just the kind of the children's blocks that our kids play with. And for tonight, what we're going to talk about is why are we doing it? So this is the start-off lesson for this weekend. And we're not going to go super deep into new scriptures that you've never maybe understood before, but we want to talk about some basic things. And a lot of times I think we need to review the basics, because a lot of times the basics tend to cause people problems. And we need to be reminded about the basic things from time to time. And that's what we want to try to do this weekend, Lord willing. The things that we do in our religion are very important. We come here and we meet. We try to live out God's Word in our lives. We try to do the things that He tells us to do. We try to refrain from doing the things He tells us that we need to stay away from. And all these things are very, very important. What we want to talk about this evening, and what I want you to know, is that the reason behind our actions are really the most important. We can do a lot of things, but the reason that we are doing them is the most important. I think as we go through the lesson this evening, hopefully you'll be able to see very clearly why we put this on the board tonight. Keep in mind, the reason that we do what we do, that reason behind why we're doing it, is the most important. Because I could go and I could do a lot of things, if I'm not doing them for the right reason, then it really doesn't mean a whole lot. Now, we can learn much in our lives by examining the characteristics of the Pharisees. We can learn a lot about religion. We can learn a lot about why we do what we do. In the days of Jesus, there was this group called the Pharisees, and they were a very quote-unquote religious group. And the Pharisees, you've always hear about the scribes and the Pharisees. The Pharisees were a very legalistic group of people. They were very concerned about making sure that things were done according to the letter of the law, and that all the laws were carried out. And the Pharisees, they had a kind of a predominant presence amongst the people during the times of Jesus. But what we find is that Jesus rebuked this group of people because of the life that they were living. And this was a group of people that were supposed to be the elite of the elite as far as religious people go. And Jesus comes on the scene and He rebukes these people because of the life that they were living. And we're going to try to learn a lot of things from the Pharisees, and try to learn from their example. And hopefully we can live better Christian lives from learning from this group of people. Get my blinker going here. All right, give me just a second. There we go. All right, let's look at some of the characteristics of the Pharisees. And the first one that we want to notice this evening is that the Pharisees, they had a desire for praise and attention of the people. And this is a characteristic that we see many times in the religious world. And the Pharisees had this. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verses 5 through 7. And this was Jesus speaking. He said, "But all their works they do to be seen by men." He says, "They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments." He says, "They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogue, greetings in the marketplace, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi." So you can imagine these Pharisees walking around with these very fancy garments. They had these things called phylacteries, and I believe that's what they wrote scriptures on, and they made them very broad. So as they were walking around, they wanted everyone to see, and they wanted everyone to know that they were the quote-unquote religious people of the day. And Jesus rebukes them because he says the works they're doing, they desire to be seen of men. And that is not a good thing, we see from Jesus' comments here. Now, the next one that we want to notice. The Pharisees thought it was acceptable to create laws of tradition and personal opinion and enforce those laws upon other people. This was something that they did. And again, notice from Matthew chapter 23 and verse 4, it says that, speaking of the Pharisees, it says that they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. So this group of, this elite of the elite at the time, they were not only trying to be seen of men, but they were making their own laws, if you will, because of their traditions, their own personal opinions, so on and so forth. And they were binding these laws upon other people. The next one we want to notice regarding the characteristics of the Pharisees is that they focused very much on the outward appearance instead of the heart. And Jesus had something to say about that as well. Speaking to them, he said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees." He called them hypocrites. He says, "For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence." It says, "Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also." He gives them another warning. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear to be righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. So the scribes and Pharisees, they were very concerned about their appearance. We saw a couple of slides back, they wearing the big phylacteries, making their borders large, and wanted to be seen of men. Again, they wanted to appear very religious. They didn't want people to think that they were common, that just the common old Joe off the street. They wanted attention. They wanted people to think, wow, you know, this group of people, they really are the religious of the religious. You know, they're so special. But Jesus says, hey, you're inside. You might appear religious on the outside, but inside, it's a whole different story. And I saw one guy on TV one time. He was giving a lesson about this, and he had a nice suit on, and he was giving his lesson. And to prove the point, he's like, "You like it?" He called somebody, "Do you like my suit?" "Yeah, I like that suit." So he took his coat off, and his the sleeves on his arm, he had them all ripped up, and they were dangling everywhere. But it looked good before he took his coat off. He pulled his coat off, and his shirt was all ripped up and dirty and everything else. So it looked good on the outside, but what was on the inside was a whole different story. So that was just an example that this guy used. I thought it was pretty good, but I didn't want to rip my shirt up. I didn't want to wear a coat tonight because I'd get too hot, so I didn't do that one. All right, let's look at the next one. The Pharisees focused so much on the process of keeping laws that they had little relationship with God. They went around, remember we talked about them making these laws and of their own opinion, of tradition, binding those laws upon other people. They were so focused on all these things, their relationship with God really suffered. Again, Matthew chapter 23, verses 23 and 24, it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! He says, for you pay tithe and mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law." And just the basic ones. He says justice, mercy, faith. They even neglected faith. That's one of the basic things. He says these you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. He calls them blind guides who strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. And you think about that last phrase there, straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. You think about a group of people that were very legalistic in their way of life, and they would be so concerned and so worked up over the smallest little thing. You know, we might say they were splitting hairs over these little bitty things where they were allowing all sorts of terrible things, swallowing this big camel. The Pharisees had a lot of bad things going on in their lives. They had a lot of bad characteristics, and Jesus in this chapter, he really lays it on the line for them, and he lets them know what was going on in their lives. So think about these Pharisees. They were not pleasing to God. They were supposed to be the religious of the religious, the elite of the elite. But God was not pleased with them. And they were doing all sorts of religious things, but God was not happy. They were driven to do religious things for reasons other than their love for God. We read in the slide before this one how they had neglected the weightier matters of the law. They had neglected the basic things. He said justice, mercy, faith. They neglected faith. They were doing all these religious things for other reasons than the very basic one, and that should have been their love for God. Now, how about characteristics of some, I put quote-unquote religious people today. So I don't want to say all religious people. Let's just say some people who claim to be religious today. Well, some religious people today are driven by the desire to have praise and attention of other people. And that's pretty much like the scribes, the Pharisees that we've been talking about. Driven to have praise and attention. We see that many times in our lives that we live. We see people that are supposed to be quote-unquote religious people doing things, and it seems like the only reason they're doing it is to be noticed of other people, to get some praise for themselves so that they can feel good, so that they can have some glory, maybe so that they can have a certain degree of power amongst the groups that they are in. This is something that we see today. The next one, some religious people today make religious laws based on their own personal opinions. We see that this happens today. We see that people will make laws that really have no foundation in Scripture, or it's founded in a Scripture that has been perverted in order to fit their own personal belief or their own personal agenda. We see that these things happen today. Some religious people seem to be more concerned about what other people think than they are with the condition of their heart. Just like the scribes and the Pharisees, we see this going on today in the world that we live in. People concerned about, well, what are other people going to think? And that sometimes seems to drive people that are supposed to be the quote-unquote religious people of our day. Very concerned about what people think. Some people today do many quote-unquote religious things, but in their day-to-day life, you know, they seem to be very far from God. They can say religious things, talk about religious things, even do things that appear to be religious. But then when you're around certain people on a day-to-day basis, they don't act very religious. They don't have a very religious attitude in their dealings with other people. We see that these things go on in the world that we live in today. So here's the question for us. How do we compare to the Pharisees? And how do we compare to other religious people we just talked about? And we put quote-unquote religious people. There's a lot of people that say they're religious are really not. They put on a good show just like the Pharisees. But how do we compare? How do I compare? And how do you compare? So if we go through this lesson, let's try to be honest with ourselves and see how we line up when we think about the scribes and the Pharisees and other religious people in the world today. Now, how do we compare? Let's talk about tradition. Tradition is very important, and I think with the scribes and Pharisees, we see that a lot of things that they probably did were founded based upon the traditions that they had grown up with, laws that were passed down to them. Maybe some laws that were based upon personal opinion were passed down to them, and they did things because of that. But what about us? And just a broad subject here, tradition. Well, how about this? And this is just a saying here, and let's think about ourselves. I've always gone to church, and we've always done things this way. Now, this is a very real thing when we think about why we do it. The title of our lesson, why we do the things we do. Well, maybe one reason we do it is because we've grown up doing it. I've grown up in the church all my life. We've always done certain things. We always try to come to church. We always sing songs. We always partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. We do all sorts of religious things, but for a lot of us, we've grown up doing that. And are we doing those things based upon tradition? And that's really a very important question, and one that we have to really search deep down within ourselves to answer why we're doing what we're doing. Is it because you grew up doing this all your life? Is that what motivates you? Is that the reason why you're here tonight? Because when there's a gospel meeting, that's what we do. We come and we listen and then we go, and the next time we come and do it again, because that's just what we've grown up doing. Notice this, if religion is no more than a set of do's and don'ts, it could easily become a tradition. If your religion tonight, for you, if religion is a list of do's and don'ts, you are in grave danger of doing religious things out of tradition. Because you will learn a list of things to do, it's just a behavior. You know, I know how to act when I go to my job. Because I've grown up in a society that tells me there's certain things you say, there's certain things you don't say. You know how to act based upon the way that you were raised, and you know what's acceptable and what's not. And you do it kind of, I don't want to say I act the way I do in my job because of tradition, but you learn certain activities, certain ways of doing things. And it's very easy for us in our religion to learn certain ways of doing things, and that's just what you do. And it's very easy for us not to question those things. And when we do that, we run a great risk of being somewhat like the Pharisees, doing things out of tradition. Our religion has to be more than a list of do's and don'ts. There's a very specific reason, and we're going to get to that in a few minutes, for the reason that we should do certain things and not do other things. Well, how about this? How do we compare? How about expectations? Some of you might not like this one, but how about this quote? God might not bless me if I don't do certain things. Other people might not like it either. And how about the first part of that? God might not bless me if I don't do certain things. Now, to some degree, I think most of us have been raised to believe that God requires us to do certain things. And I think most of us are fearful that if we don't do those things, that God is not going to bless us. So we grow up doing that, and it's very easy for us to do things out of expectation. I'm going to go and I'm going to make sure I go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night or Wednesday night. Because I'm maybe a little bit fearful that if I don't, God's not going to bless me. God's not going to let me keep my good job. God's not going to continue to bless me with good health if I don't do the things that we've grown up doing all of our lives. Well, how about other people? Well, my family might not like it if I don't come and I don't do what we've grown up doing. I don't want to rock the boat. I don't want to make any waves. So it's easier just to come and to do those quote unquote religious things. So our religion can be done out of expectation. How about selfish reasons? This one's maybe a little bit different, but are you driven by? I put personal feel goods. And that's kind of difficult to explain, but I'll try and maybe you'll understand. And this is one that you really have to be completely honest with yourself. And you don't have to tell anybody, but just be honest with yourself in your own mind. But sometimes it's very easy for us to get personal satisfaction out of doing religious things on a personal level. That's why I put personal feel goods, because it makes us feel good to do certain things. And that can be a strong driving force for the reason that we do what we do, if we're not careful. We get almost a high off of the personal feel-good. We do certain things and we feel good about it. We get some special recognition and what feels good. And, you know, it's very easy for leaders within the church. Well, you know, I did this and people told me I did great. Well, that's wonderful. So be careful. Because it's easy for us to continue to do those things, maybe for the wrong reason. Maybe for the spotlight. And it's not just leaders within the church. It could be anyone. I mean, we can come here and you could put on a show and make people think that you're something you're not. People think, oh, he's such a wonderful dad, or she's such a wonderful mom, or you know, she bakes the best pie, or you know, it could be a million different things. But we could be driven in our religious life to do things based upon selfish reasons, and we have to be very careful about that. How do we compare? Do we focus so much on processes that we have no relationship with God? And I might get in trouble with this one. Sometimes it's very easy for us to focus so much upon the doing that we can easily forget about God. Now let me try to explain what I mean here. Many times we only focus on how to worship and what to do or not to do in our daily lives. So growing up in the church, we learned that you come to church. Church service is to be conducted in a certain way. We don't have musical instruments. We have one speaker at a time. We don't have women speaking during the assembly. We partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week. We don't have we don't have classes dividing the congregation up. We can focus on those to such a degree that it's very easy for us to forget about our relationship with God. Now, I'm not saying, and don't walk away tonight and say that I said it doesn't matter how we worship, because that's not the point that I'm trying to make. It is important that we follow God and we do things the way that He desires for them to be done. But it's very dangerous for us when we've become so focused upon, I've got to do it this way, it's got to be that way. If we're not careful, we'll forget why we're doing it anyway. We'll focus so much upon the process that we'll have no relationship with God. And that's a very real danger. We can become so obsessed with these things that we forget about our relationship with God. And our relationship with God, we're talking tonight about the reason why we do what we do. This is really the key, is our relationship with Him. And we're going to get to that in just a minute. So, what is the right reasons for doing religious things? Quote, unquote, however you want to call it. What is the right reason? We've talked about the scribes, or the Pharisees. We've talked about other quote, unquote, religious people. Why should we be doing what we do? And this is the Back to the Basics series for this weekend. And this sounds so very simple, but sometimes it causes so many problems. Because a lot of times we do religious things for the wrong reason. So what is the right reason for doing religious things? Well, it should be your love for God and what He's done for you. It should be your love of God, the love that you have for Him, because of the wonderful things that He's done. Now you say, well, what has God done? Well, God has blessed me with all sorts of things, but let's look at a couple of scriptures. And this is not going to, I'm not about to unveil something that you've never heard before, but just follow me here and think about these things. Let's look at this first one here. Our sin. Romans 6 and verse 20, chapter 6 and verse 23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, we all know that we're not perfect. We all know that we make mistakes. This is a wonderful thing here. The wages of sin is death, but through the gift of our Savior, we can be forgiven of those things. We can be released from those things because we have eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. So when I think about going to church, coming to church, trying to follow God, trying to do the things that He has told me I need to do, this is why. He's done something for me. He's done something great for me. And God has given us such a wonderful gift. It wasn't just a little old gift that He threw out there and we don't care about. This is the basics right here. We do what we do because we love our Lord. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is the reason for doing what we do. But you know, I've heard these verses all my life, but I'll have to be very honest with you. Growing up, from my perspective and what I've seen more focus placed upon how we do it, making sure that we're not violating a law. And that's been driven over and over and over again. If we're not careful, we'll forget why we're doing what we're doing, because we will get in such a habit of doing it, and we'll become so fearful that if we do it wrong that God's going to no longer bless us. This is the reason that we do what we do. Because we love God. Because of the great sacrifice that He made upon the cross for us. That should be the motivating force in your life that causes you to want to follow after God. That causes you to have that desire, that attitude in life that you want to please Him. That you want to do the things that He has commanded you to do. Notice this in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. It says, if we walk in the light, if He is in the light, it says we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Verse 9, another important one here. If we confess our sins, He's faithful. And He's just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I know for sure that I don't have, by my own power, I don't have the power. I'm not good enough or will ever be good enough to earn God's blessing. It is a wonderful gift that He has given to us. We have to follow after Him, yes, but we need to remember the wonderful gift that He's given. That He has given us salvation. That's what He's promised to us. And we need to remember as we're going about our daily lives and we're trying to live the life, live the Christian life, the reason that we do it is because we love God. And He's done so much for us. He takes away our sins. He allows us to be in His presence. And that's a wonderful thing. But too many times, I think, in the past, we have failed to focus on those things as we should. Many times, it's very easy for us to focus upon the do's and the do-nots. And it's got to be this way. And these things, I'm not saying these things are not important, but the driving factor should be our love for the Lord. Very, very important. The next one here. Realizing the greatness of God's blessings and forgiveness is really tied into the first one that we talked about, the reason for doing religious things. We have to realize how wonderful the blessings are. And we talked about the forgiveness of sins in Luke, the 7th chapter. We read there about a woman who was forgiven of her sins. And this story is a very beautiful story of forgiveness. And some of the other disciples were with Jesus. And let's just read this. This is, you'll go back before verse 44. You can read the entire passage. But I just pulled this little snippet out here. It's all I could fit on the slide, and I wanted to fill it here. It says, then He turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. He says, you gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss. But this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. He said, you did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. And notice this last statement here. He says, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. See, I think for us to have a really great appreciation for God and His wonderful blessings, we have to realize the enormity of sin and the how terrible sin is. We have to realize that as sinners, which we are, we have to realize how terrible of a situation that is. And we have to realize that God has forgiven us of so much. kill. A lot of times we don't think like that, because we think of sinners as doing those big, horrible things. Murder, drunkenness, adultery, and fornication. And we think, well, you know, we're pretty good people, and we obeyed the gospel because that's, you know, what we do. We got saved, and, you know, we did believe in our Savior, and we went through the steps that we're supposed to go through. We might not really have that great love and appreciation for what God has done for us, because maybe we didn't feel like we were that all that bad to begin with. You see, we have to realize how terrible sin is. One sin separates you from God. And the Bible says that we have all sinned. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to be reconciled back to God. This is the reason for doing the religious things that we do. So tonight, what's the point? Hopefully we've made the points we were trying to make. But the point is to please God. The foundation of all that we do in religion should be based upon our sincere love for God. We could be like the Pharisees. We could be like other religious people. We could do things because that's what we've gotten into the habit of doing. We could do it to be seen of men, maybe to have some personal glory come our way. But you know, God's not pleased with that, just as He wasn't pleased with the Pharisees. The reason we do what we do is because we love the Lord. And if you feel like you don't love the Lord, maybe you don't appreciate what He's done for you. And maybe you need to back up another step and say, well, what has He done? And we tried to show that, but on a personal level, step back and look at yourself. And realize that you are a sinner. That you have sinned. And that sin separates from God. The wages of sin is death. We read that back in the book of Romans, chapter 6, and verse 23. That's the payoff for your sin, and each person sins. But it continues on. It says, but the gift of God is what? It's eternal life. We're made righteous, not because we're so wonderful, not because we have the power to walk in a perfect life and never, ever make a mistake. But we become righteous through the blood of Christ. That's what covers our sins. That's what makes us righteous. We read about the children of God being righteous. That's how it's done. It's through the blood of Christ. So in order to please Him, all the things that we do in religion need to be based upon our sincere love for Him. That's the point that I wanted to make this evening. And that's the point I wanted you to remember. So how about some goals for this week? The first one, focus on the great things that God has done for you. Think about those things. Try to meditate upon those things. You know, when you wake up in the morning and you've got a million things to do, you know, just stop and think about the wonderful blessings that God has given you. And then number two, thank God. Show thanks to Him every day through your prayers, through your attitude, through your way of life. Thank God every day for His love, for His mercy, for His grace. Then the third one, this week, when you do things in the name of religion, remember why you're doing it. Don't do it just because, well, it's Wednesday, it's time to go to church, or it's Sunday morning, it's 10:30, I got to hurry up and get there because that's what I always do. Take time to stop and think why you're doing what you're doing. It's so very, very important. We've been promised eternal life. We are the redeemed. We need to thank Him and praise Him every day. So as we close out this evening, please remember this one last verse here, is that we love Him because He first loved us. All the things that we're doing should be done out of our love for Him. And we love Him because He loved us. After all, God sent His very best, to die upon the cross for us. And He's done so many wonderful things through us. We've been given so many blessings through Jesus' death on the cross. That's why we love Him. Because what He did for us. And that's the reason that we do what we do. So this evening, the lesson is yours. And I hope that you will accept these things. I know that they're basic, but that's what I wanted to talk about. A lot of times when we talk about the basics, we talk about the gospel plan of salvation. We talk about hearing the Word, believing the Word, repenting of our sins, being baptized for the remission of our sins. It's not what I wanted to focus on this evening. We need to focus in our lives. Those things are important, but we need to always remember why it is what we're doing. Because we can do things, we could live a whole life of doing religious things, and we could be like the Pharisees, doing them for the wrong reason. And God is not pleased with that. And if we're not careful, we might forget about God in our daily life. And we could still be doing religious things. You remember the church at Ephesus, at Revelation chapter 2. They were doing many religious things. They were doing many religious works. They were opposed to false teachers. But you know, God was not pleased with that church because it says that they had lost their first love. You see, they were going through the motions. They were doing the things that God had told them to do. But they were failing to do it because they loved Him. I don't know what happened to them. I don't know how they got on the wrong track. Maybe it was because that's what they did. We get up, we go, and we do. This is how we're supposed to do. I don't know exactly what happened to them, but they lost it. They got off on the wrong track. And if you've gotten on the wrong track this evening, it's time for us to remember. It's time for us to stop and think about the basics. Why it is what we do. Why we do what we do. And we do it because of what God has done for us. We should be doing it because we love Him. Please consider these things this evening. We invite you to come forward and stand and sing. If there's any who desire prayer or any who are subject to the gospel, invitation, as we stand and sing.